Beloved Master Swaha, some days ago the word Master touched me so deeply. It seems like it penetrated into an unknown place, deep inside me, and it stayed there like a koan. I understood it in my heart, and I have been noticing that I talk to you, beloved, as if I were making a prayer. There are moments in which everything just stops, pauses, and then all the movements continue again. My heart is bubbling with love and joy, and tears of contentment are always coming up. Thank you, Master, for your presence in my life. With profound devotion and love, Sarani. No, Sarani has stopped now. Now you have gone to a deeper place because you had some problems. You were missing your daughter, no? That is natural. But now, look now when you have gone deeper. You have many different layers to go through. Before the mind gets still. But now you can't escape now. Luckily. That's why I take you all the way from Brazil now. If you had just come from Oslo, then you could escape easily. So that's why this from Oslo I have to take all the way to Brazil. Because the mind comes up with many things. Some days ago, the word Master touched me so deeply. She knows what she is writing. It seems like it penetrated into an unknown place inside me. It stayed there like a koan. Maybe that was the first time you understood this word Master. Because now you have touched some mystery. An unknown place. And that's where I want to take you, into unknown places. Forgotten places. I understood it in my heart, and that's another thing, you can never understand the Master through the head, only through the heart.
Eu entendi do meu coração, e é isso que é, você não pode entender o Mestre através da cabeça, somente pelo coração.
The mind, the head, has to be left far behind.
A cabeça, a mente, deve ser deixada lá para trás.
And then the mystery is opens.
E aí o mistério se abre.
I've been noticing that I talk to you, beloved, as I was making prayer. That is the invitation from the master to come closer and closer, so you get more and more in harmony.
Esse é o convite do mestre de chegar mais e mais perto para que você entre em harmonia.
Fall more and more in tune.
Entre mais em sintonia.
The more in tune you are, the more you feel that joy.
Quanto mais em sintonia você estiver, mais você vai sentir alegria.
That sacred heart.
Aquele coração sagrado.
That's why it's no technique, it's just to fall in tune.
Por isso que não há técnica, é entrar em sintonia.
That's why it's impossible for the mind to understand the mystery between the disciple and the master.
Por isso que é impossível para a mente entender o mistério entre o mestre e o discípulo.
Because it goes through the heart.
Que passa pelo coração.
And people are not in touch with their heart.
E as pessoas não estão em contato com o seu coração.
So first the master has to ignite the heart.
Então, primeiro o mestre tem que acender o coração.
Going deeper into the heart.
Ir mais fundo no coração.
Into love.
Em amor.
Then things can be transmitted.
Aí, então as coisas podem ser transmitidas.
Which is impossible through the head.
Que é impossível através da mente, da cabeça.
There are moments in which everything just stops, pauses. My heart is bubbling with love and joy, and tears of contentment are always coming up. Thank you, Master, for your presence in my life. The Master is presence. So coming closer to the Master, coming closer to yourself, you recognize this presence in you.
O Mestre é a presença. Então, chegando mais perto do Mestre, chegando mais perto de si mesmo, você reconhece essa presença em você.
That is the mystery that you cannot learn from any book, any teaching, any technique.
Esse é o mistério que você não pode aprender através de nenhum livro, de nenhuma técnica.
But still it's happening.
Mas ainda assim está acontecendo.
Of course, when you are in tune, when the heart is home, then it's bubbling with love and joy. That is the true nature of the heart.
Quando você está em sintonia, então o coração está borbulhando de amor. Essa é a natureza.
If not, the mind is burdening it and keeping it pressed down.
Se a mente não está carregando ele, pressionando para baixo.
Then it will bubble over.
Aí ele vai borbulhar.
In India, they said that the guru, the master, is the door to God.
Na Índia, eles dizem que o guru, o mestre, é a porta para Deus.
So when you are with God, then you are happy.
Então, quando você está com Deus, você está feliz.
What better companionship can you have?
Qual é a melhor companhia que você pode ter?
But you have to go beyond all attachments.
Mas você tem que ir além de todos os apegos.
You have to get this mind away.
Você tem que tirar a mente de lado.
Because the mind is always restless.
Porque a mente está sempre inquieta.
Now you have tasted it, this unknown place.
Agora você experimentou isso, esse lugar desconhecido.
The mystery of Master.
O mistério do mestre.
Now take good care of it.
Agora cuide disso.
It's very good, Sarani. You come here, you escape it. You and Siddhartha is very good.
Muito bom, Sarani, que você veio, você escapou, você e Siddhartha. Muito bem.
You both doing good.
Vocês dois estão indo muito bem.
What else to do?
O que mais fazer?
And the good thing to be really down is there is only one way, and that is up. So don't be afraid if you don't, then soon you can go further. Then you will appreciate much more the joy also. through human history, the children and the parents, and especially the mothers, have got very attached to each other. So, attachment doesn't mean love. So don't be afraid to go away. And especially not here when you get wiser. No, from the first time you go so deep, you find the mystery, you find love, joy, and overflowing in the heart. What is better to give to the children? That is what is important for the children, to have happy, peaceful, wise parents. The world is full of parents, restless, full of tension, on the border to crack down. Do you think that is good for the parents, for the children, even if they are with them every day, all the time? You have to do the homework, which is coming back to yourself. No, you see. Then you have something to share. You can't share peace if you don't have it. You can't share love if you don't have it. You can't share joy if you don't have it. When you have something, it's easy. It happens by itself. So you see, you now are happy, and then Salini will be very happy. She gets a wise, happy mother.
Você está feliz, a Salini vai ficar bem feliz também, porque agora ela tem uma mãe feliz.
All about love. Still are the flowers and the mountains behind. The waving clouds reveal the snow on the peaks, all connected, always moving, ever changing in its own time. But the silent sky, eternally in contrast, overflowing, loving around everyone in everywhere, embracing tiny flying seeds and the most distant star. Beloved Master, all is by your grace. Deep love and gratitude, Mahendra. Mahendra, you're doing good now. Mahendra, you speak English also? Yes? How it has been for you? Yeah? It was the right time, no? You know what they always say, when the seeker, when the disciple is ready, the master will appear. And when the disciple is ready, then they understand the master also. They are ripe for it. Then they can just sit silently, doing nothing. Spring comes. And grass grows by itself. Or clouds come, and clouds gone, mountains still there. Nothing to do. Then poetry, that's what is happening. Poetry comes up. Very good, man. You like it here in the mountains? So. Poof, poof. That you made drawing also? Drawing is very safe when you're in silence. It is very good. That's why if I keep you enough in silence, you all will be very good in painting and drawing, because unless he has to go out somewhere. That would be good. Then you can't talk so much. Otherwise, you're just blabbering, all the time blabbering, no? Should paint. Would that be good? You just paint a picture, you want to say something, you paint a picture. Then the person has to try to figure out what is it you want to tell. How to understand the picture. That's good. I will read you something that Buddha said. How can a troubled mind understand the way? If a man is disturbed, he will never be filled with wisdom. An untroubled mind, no longer seeking to consider what is right and what is wrong, a mind beyond judgments, watches and understands. Know that the body is a fragile jar, and make a castle of your awareness. In every trail, let understanding fight for you to defend what you have won. For soon the body is discarded. Then what does it feel? A useless log of wood, it lies on the ground. Then what does it know? Your worst enemy cannot harm you as much as your own thoughts, your own mind, unguarded. But once mastered, no one can help you as much, not even your father or your mother. He said, how can a troubled mind understand the way? Because the way is one and the mind is many. The mind is split, divided. So how can this divided mind find the way, the real? It's impossible. It will start walking there, and it will start walking there, and it starts walking, and it's non-ending. How can this fragmented mind that is scattered all over, how can that be focused? How can all the roads, all the paths come into one road? How can that happen? It's millions of paths. You need a guide. You need some kind of light to see this is the road. But that you can only find if you're looking for it. That's what a seeker is. How can a troubled mind understand the way? If a man is disturbed, he will never be filled with wisdom. If a man is disturbed, what does Buddha means by disturbed? It means someone who is totally lost, identified with the mind. That is somebody who is disturbed. Only mental. So this man can be full of knowledge, but not wisdom. So how can a troubled mind understand the way? And all the Buddha says, become innocent. You have to start fresh. You have to fall in tune and listen listen to wisdom, listen to the Buddha. By listening to the Master, then you start understanding. First, open your ears, open your heart, then start listening. Out of listening, taking these seeds of wisdom to your heart, it touches something in the heart. That is where wisdom comes from. Out of understanding comes peace. First seek, then listen, when you have found something worthy of listening to, of stopping with. Then out of listening, understanding. This understanding start waking up your sleepy heart, your sleepy consciousness. Then out of that peace, real wisdom. If a man is disturbed, he will never be filled with wisdom. If you are split, how can you see the one? And that is wisdom. How can you become peaceful? And everybody is disturbed. The whole world is disturbed. Otherwise, how can they behave like they are? How can they destroy the planet that they live on if they're not disturbed? How can they kill each other if they're not disturbed? How can they make nuclear plans and bombs instead of taking care of each other? Because of money, because of greed, because of ego, because of a disturbed mind, because of no vision into reality. So how to become wise in a disturbed world? Very difficult. First you have to find and listen to somebody who is not disturbed, not in unbalance. You have to find someone in balance. An untroubled mind no longer seeking to consider what is right and what is wrong. A mind beyond judgments watches and understands. That is what an untroubled mind is, who is no longer seeking to consider what is right and what is wrong, because right and wrong belongs to the mind. And you have to go beyond opposites to find the real. Things are like they are. It's not the right and the wrong, it's acceptance, it's this seeing. That is what brings wisdom. Otherwise, all the religions, and especially the Christians, trying to be good. How can you try to be good? If you're good, you're good. That is falsehood, trying to be something that you not are. It has to come from your own understanding. And when you are natural, when you are coming back to yourself, when you are undivided, when you don't have a troubled mind, then you are good, you are in harmony. Because you are in the real, it's impossible then to do anything that is disturbing the harmony. You are in tune. You are at ease. You are at peace. An untroubled mind no longer seeking to consider what is right and what is wrong. A mind beyond judgments watches and understands. And it can only watch and understand when there is a clarity, when there is a trust, when there is an acceptance. when it is a certain maturity, you just see and you understand. Know well that the body is a fragile jar, and make a castle of your awareness, of your consciousness. That's what you should make your castle of. Not sand, not the mind, not your image, not the ego. Because a castle made of sand, it will soon go. Maybe you can build it when it's low tide. Soon the tide will come, it washes away. Buddha said, don't depend so much on the body. You are much more. Go deeper, go higher. Make a castle of the real. Make a castle of your consciousness, of your awareness. Then you have something solid. The body will go. Find that which is real. That's the only thing you can take with you. In every battle, in every test, let understanding fight for you to defend what you have won. Let this understanding, let this awareness fight for you. It means you have to remember, because you will be tested every battle, every trial, every fight, every conflict, and it will come up, the mind will come up with many, many things. But Buddha says, let understanding fight for you to defend what you have won. If you have won, if you have an insight, then let it go deep. That's what I remind you again and again. Here, when you have deep insights, clear seeing, awakenings, take notice, because you will be tested. That's what Buddha is saying. In every battle, every trial, you let the understanding fight for you. Let your true insight, what you have seen, what you have understood in your heart, in your being, be on guard, because you will be tested. Again and again, it's easier to fall unconscious. Remember, it's much easier to be unconscious than to be conscious. Yes, it comes a time when you are worthy. Then consciousness itself will take over. But in the beginning, you will be tested again and again. You will go astray again and again. You will again and again fall flat on your face. You will again and again lose hope, have doubt. Then, says Buddha, remember, you have seen, you have tasted something. Be steady. Don't get entangled with the mind. Have trust, come back. Know that the body is a fragile jar, and make a castle of your consciousness, of the real. And in every battle, every fight, every time you go astray, which will happen many times, let understanding, let this insight fight for you to defend what you have won. I say again and again, the mind will come. You have to be very strict with it. Because out of all habit, it's been coming whenever it wanted. Because you haven't been your own master. So you have to be very strict with it. So it gets the message, I'm not interested. I have new friends. I have a new consciousness now that I want to take care of. No, I have my heart. It's much more beautiful to be with the truth, with love, with peace, than to be with the restless mind. Again and again, you have to stand up for it. Otherwise, you will be wavering. And before you know it, the mind has moved in again. Your habits have moved in again. This is how the battle goes. This is really the battle between heaven and hell, the dark and the light. It's not heaven and hell somewhere else, it's in you. When you are in balance, when there is peace, there is heaven. When you are troubled, troubled mind, restless mind, lost, then is hell. People pray, they hope they will come to heaven, but that only consciousness can take you there, only awareness can take you there, only love can take you there. Everybody can hope, but you have to be conscious, you have to wake up now, you have to look at yourself now. If it doesn't happen now, it won't happen then. Let this understanding, let this clarity fight for you, says Buddha. And remember, again and again, doubt, fear, anger, jealousy, conflict, darkness, ego, it will come. Then be aware. Be always on guard. That's how you get strong in spirit. Then one day, you are integrated. In fact, so strong that you forget that you are strong. No body, no mind, no hassle is even trying. They give up. The mind itself surrenders. And anyway, it has so many other people to harass, that they see when the ego sees that, oh my God, this guy is no chance, no chance in hell, I can't disturb him. Then he packs up and he moves into somebody who is not conscious. Oh, here we have somebody who I can disturb. So be on guard. For soon the body is discarded. Then what does it feel? A wooden log of wood, it lies on the ground. Then what does it know? Remember, Buddha, he always brought this that in. And why? Because that is one of the most powerful reminders that one day you will die. What is it you are wasting your life on? What are you really doing? He's saying, why are you fighting? One day you also will die. Don't you know? Is this what you are supposed to do in life? Having quarrels, fighting, killing people? Wake up. For soon the body is discarded. Then what does it feel? He's saying, if you are only identified with the physical, you have gained nothing, because soon it's finished. What does it feel then when it's died? All those feelings, all those emotions, all that mind, all that thinking, mental gymnastic, what hasn't given to you? When you die, it's finished. You have gained nothing from life. He's saying go deeper. Find something that is always there. Something beyond the physical. Something beyond the material. For soon the body is discarded. Then what does it feel? A useless log of wood. It lies on the ground. Then what does it know? Know how proud are you now? I know this, I know that. This is my truth, this is that. I will tell you. Fighting, arguing. Know what do you know? You're just a dead piece. Soon you will be on the funeral pyre or in the ground if you are here. Then what do you know? What do you have to say now? No, he said, find peace. Find something that is nourishing. Come back. Be settled in your heart, in your being, in silence. In the real. Take shelter there. And the magic of magic is, then when you are not so identified, to the physical and to this world, only then you will really enjoy it. Because no, it's not attached, no, you can fully enjoy it. Because no, you see what the mystery it is. Otherwise, people are never satisfied. They always want something else. They always get tired. They always get restless. They always get fed up. But if you are really present, you never get tired, you never get fed up. Every moment is a mystery. Your worst enemy cannot harm you as much as your own thoughts, unguarded. And you're spending so much time and energy on your so-called enemies. Whole countries are fighting other countries, their enemies. Religions fighting other religions, their enemies. Neighbor fighting neighbors, their enemy. Husband fighting wives, their enemy. See how unconscious humans are. Buddha said, your worst enemy cannot harm you as much as your own thoughts, unguarded. Unguarded means unconscious. When you are in sleep, when you have no clue of your center, of your consciousness, of that divine presence in yourself, then you are unguarded. Then you are asleep. Then you are functioning only from your sleep. And then many stupid things happen. The more aware, less chance for any stupidity. Because you are not unguarded. You are not asleep. You are not unconscious. You are more present, you are aware. Then you are on guard. Then how can you do stupid things if you are aware, if you are awake? Only somebody who is sleepy does this. Then look how sleepy one is. Your worst enemy cannot harm you as much as your own thoughts, unguarded. Because you are your thoughts. And the thoughts is just moving all the time like restless clouds. Find something that is unmoving. That is the way out. That is the way to be aware. Find something that is steady. Your worst enemy cannot harm you as much as your own thoughts, unguarded. But once mastered, no one can help you as much, not even your own father or your mother. And he is talking, and this is the beautiful thing with the masters, you have to find images that you understand. Everybody understand your father, your mother. In the ordinary people, that is what is the closest. Because they brought you this body. But there is something deeper, Buddha says. The Buddha is there to give birth to your consciousness. Is this much more valuable than the body? Yes. Thank you to the parents, you brought the body. But that's why the love, the devotion to the master goes much deeper. Because that is to your very consciousness. That's why these mystics can say, like Sahaju, I could forget God, but I could never forget my master. Because who knows about God? I know about my master. But once mastered, once when you have transformed, when you have understood, when you have won the battle of your mind, then it can become your best friend. Because then it's not confused, it's not troubled, it is very steady. It's a beautiful tool, it's crystal clear, the mind works unpolluted, untroubled. Once mastered, no one can help you as much. And that is the meaning of the sannyasins, to transform all the lower to the higher. That's why Osho called the sannyasins swamis. Because Swami means, they have this word in India, this Swami. And it's very much respect at the Swami, because it means the master. Somebody who is a master over himself. Maybe not enlightened, maybe not the guru, not a master yet. But he's a master over himself. He's steady. He has won the battle of the mind, of the impulses, of that which is taking him away from himself. That is his Swami. He's steady. Then people offer flowers because they recognize that. That is a different respect. You see the difference. In the West, they offer respect to any idiot. No awareness at all. It's the sleepy people, this is the only thing they have to show in the West. Can you imagine? This is the highest. If the leader is totally unconscious, how can the followers be then? They need somebody unconscious. It's safe. In the East, and that's the beautiful thing with the Buddhists also, they don't even talk about a God. There's no God as such. You have to come back to yourself, to consciousness, to love. God is love. They don't talk about love. Come back to your heart, to your center, to the natural. Then you experience godliness, not God as a person, as a childish thing.
Hello?
Hello? They've been sitting there for generations. Ho ho, is nobody on the other line?
Hello, God?
I'm calling from the whole humanity to call, try to get you. Where are you? This is how the world is. Unconscious people, the blind leading the blind. Your worst enemy cannot harm you as much as your own thoughts, unguarded. But once mastered, no one can help you as much, not even your father and your mother. Because no, if you are really sick, that's how it works. You feel you're going to die, or you are very sick or have an accident, then you will call up mama, papa, because that is very close to you. Because now you are innocent, you know it's real. So this comes from the depth of your being. If you have gone deeper than that, then you call the master then. That is the words of the Buddha. Don't rely on anything. Be a light unto yourself. Come back to yourself. Be steady. That is the only way. Do your homework. Be steady. Be balanced. Become one. Undisturbed. Devoted to the truth. Devoted to the real. Then the real will take care. If you show you are worthy, then you will come close. Become a light unto yourself. That is the message of the Buddha. Shining, beautiful, clear, unpolluted, bright. That even the people in the darkest, they will see, oh, there is a light there. And from the moths to the humans, everything is attracted towards the light. This old disturbance, this old restlessness is very, very old. Be happy of the possibility, of the chance, of the invitations to become steady, to find peace, to become settled, to stop. Aum Shanti.
Thank you.